Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, Associate Editor for Applied Clinical Trials, and I'm here today with our Editor-in-Chief, Lisa Henderson. For today's episode, we are speaking with Paula Brown Stafford, President and CEO of Novan.
Prior to joining Novan in 2017, Paula was President of Clinical Development at Quintiles, which is now IQVIA. And in this role, Paula was responsible for global clinical development services. In addition to her current role at Novan, Paula is an adjunct professor in public health leadership at the Gilling School of Global Public Health at UNC. So thank you for joining us today, Paula.
Thank you, Lisa and Andy. Look forward to joining you.
So can you tell us about your career journey with Quintiles and how you've seen the industry evolve over this time?
Well, I joined Quintiles as the 23rd employee in 1985.
Wow.
And when I left in 2015, I was the president of clinical development services globally. And between that time, I'd been a statistician, a project manager. I had been in sales. I'd been head of sales. I was a regional operations head and then a global operations head. And then I retired at the end of 2015. And I guess in those 31 years, I saw a lot of evolution in the industry from very few players to a lot of players.
That's true. And there's been a lot of, you know, mergers and renaming of companies and such. So what do you see differently just in the industry? Maybe just one nugget that is so striking to you that's different versus maybe when you left.
You know, I'm a statistician by training, and I was the chair of the CDISC board for a number of years. So, you know, I do look at the collection of data as being the key to the evolution of the industry, you know, going from paper to ECRFs to wearables to now decentralized clinical trials. So that evolution probably is the most pointed and most visible.
What was the impetus for your co-authored book, Remember Who You Are?
My co-author, Lisa Grimes, and I had discussed it for many years. She had been head of sales at PPD when I was head of sales at Quintiles, so we were competitors. And then we became friends after she had left the CRO industry. And we really talked about how we could help young professionals have maybe a little bit easier time than we did and help them be their best. And so it's all about, in remembering who you are, how to be your best you. And that really was the impetus. And we talked about it for years. And then when I retired, she said, all right, we're either going to write this book now or we're never talking about it again. So we wrote it. And it's really around achieving success, creating balance, and experiencing fulfillment.
Excellent. So the book is about success and achievement and creating balance, which, you know, I'm probably going to sound stereotyping right now, but, you know, sometimes historically men have different balance issues as in regard to work life. So are there any like gender specific challenges that you relate to in your book or have you ever faced in your career?
You know, I would say that in short, yes, I've experienced in my career, you know, the gender discrimination, but as much I've faced age and education discrimination. And so it is all how you address it. And I guess my biggest way to address it was bringing attention to it and trying to make sure that I just kept being me. And I kept, you know, back to the book and remembering who I am. Who am I? And I wanted to be a hard worker and I wanted to always excel. And we talk in the book about giving 110%. And that was something that my father taught me. And I always wanted to give 110% at whatever I did. And so I don't think for 20 years of my career, I ever said, oh, I didn't get this because I was a woman. I never felt that. Sometimes I felt like I was seen as the 21-year-old who joined, you know, this company. And, you know, I saw more age discrimination than I did the other in some sense. But in terms of the book, you know, some of the nuggets are that, you know, yeah, there is some stereotypical and women a little bit are too much TMI. When we leave at work at 4 o'clock instead of 5 o'clock, we have to tell everybody exactly why. I'm going to pick up the kids because I have to go to a soccer game. And after that, we have to go to, you know, Girl Scouts and et cetera. And something in the book that we say is men just leave and they don't always give all the reasons behind. So there's a little bit of TMI. So there are some stereotypical that women can help themselves, I think, in terms of not always being the stereotypical.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Definitely.
In 2020, I became the CEO in February, a month before COVID. And then a few months later in July, I was asked to become the chairman of the company. And I had someone ask me or correct themselves multiple times and say, oh, I'm sorry, chairwoman. And I said, no, I worked hard to be the chairman. And if you change it now to be chairwoman, then it's a different role than what I was aiming for. And so I actually am happy to be the chairman. And I don't have an issue with whether it's chairman or chairwoman, but I think if we change the name, then we're helping to discriminate against ourselves.
Now, that's a really good point. That's an excellent point. So you've been recognized this year by the Triangle Business Journal, and you received their Women in Business Lifetime Achievement Award. So how did you feel about that?
It made me feel old. I thought, oh no, does this mean that my life is over? I still have more to do. And so it made me feel old, but I was very appreciative. And, you know, I really did appreciate the award. And I think it was recognizing my work at Quintiles and my work here at Novan and at the university, et cetera. So very much appreciated.
What advice could you give to the clinical trials professional?
You know, I think you need to take every opportunity you have to learn. You should step out of your comfort zone and think about yourself, not as just up the tree, up the ladder, but think about the root ball that you can grow with your experiences and be able to really be able to go through any storm because you've got a strong root ball. We never know when what we're doing, there might be a layoff or a change in direction. And we're better able to handle those if we have other experiences that we can use, you know, to go forward and look for other opportunities. And some people don't like to move out of their comfort zone because they fear failure. But I contend that the more we fail, the better off we are, because we learn more from our failures than we do our successes. So my advice is get out of your comfort zone and try to do as many different things as you can and get new experiences.
Excellent. Thank you so much for joining us, Paula.
Yes, thank you, Paula.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, Andy.